What's good, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. And as always, I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can also find me on Twitter at HarperNation24 if you want all things Alabama basketball and all news and updates there as well. What a week it's been for Alabama. To start out the week with an announcement of a returning player, a returning star player from last year's Final Four run, to now today on Sunday, May the 5th, having a huge commitment from a top 10 transfer that fills the biggest need on Alabama's roster currently, all within the same week, kind of bookended this week. What a week it's been. Now, at the beginning, I was obviously talking about Grant Nelson announced his return to use his fifth and final year of college eligibility at the University of Alabama next season. Now, Grant Nelson was a huge part of the Final Four run in the NCAA tournament last year for Alabama, especially his incredible performance against North Carolina and obviously in the game against Connecticut in the Final Four. I mean, when you have a game like 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 blocks against a number one seed in the Sweet 16, it's absolutely incredible. And to follow that up with a 19-point, 15-rebound performance against by far the best team in the country last season and one of the biggest stages that you can have in the sport is obviously an incredible player to have back. Now, he had his ups and downs. There's no denying that. But a lot of that had to do with him playing out of position most of the year. Him having to play the five a lot of the year really put him in bad spots defensively. And that's why he fouled so much and he was in foul trouble all season. There was a time in the middle of the kind of the going from February to March where he fouled out in 3 straight games. I mean, he fouled out in, I believe, 5 games in conference, 5 or 6 games in conference play. Now, obviously, the jump in competition, that would happen, that would hurt him having to play against 5 such as Jonas Adu, Tolu Smith, Janai Broom, top tier big men like that. It's just going to put him in bad positions. But they had literally no one else that could man that spot that was worth anything. I mean, no offense to Nick Pringle, Muhammad Waghee. They're just not really good, and they're not good enough to play in the SEC at the 5 position. Nick Pringle's too small. Muhammad Waghee he just couldn't get right from his injury, and he just wasn't SEC material. Now, Grant Nelson is SEC material, but he needs to flourish in the 4 spot to where he has more versatility on both ends of the floor, specifically on the offensive end. But on defense, if he's guarding smaller guys at the 4, that's only going to help him defensively because he laterally, speed-wise, he can keep up with those dudes. He can bang with them too. I mean, he's not a small cat. But at 6'11 and 215, 220 pounds, he's going to be bigger than most 4 men that he plays, no matter who Alabama runs into during the regular season or the postseason. So obviously having someone like that is a huge boost to next year's team. To go with the team that they already have and the front court that they're going to have when, you know, Jaren Stevenson, who I was going to mention in the news coming up, kind of a spoiler as most people already know unless you've been living under a rock, declared for the NBA draft, and it wasn't even announced until the list was actually released on Monday. Now, you don't have to publicly announce it. You can come out and do it when the official list is announced. But he announced for the NBA draft. He was not invited to the NBA Combine, but was invited to the G League Elite Combine, where if he performs well enough, he can earn an invite to the NBA Combine. But expect Jaren Stevenson to return. But to have a front court that has Grant Nelson and Jaren Stevenson, 1-2 punch at the 4, and then to have Aiden Sherrell, and the surprise commitment coming up here in a second. Aiden Sherrill already at the five, and you can fill the other five spot in the portal. That front court is going to be so elite with depth. Not necessarily the talent level being absolutely insane off the charts, because it is really good. Grant Nelson, I don't think, is an elite SEC player by any means, but he is definitely a great SEC player. Jaren Stevenson just turned 18 years old last year. He's going to have another year under his belt. He's going to come, I think the year two jump for him is going to be a big one. I think he's not going to have near as much pressure on him this year as he did last year. He was forced to play a lot of minutes last year in spots that he probably shouldn't have been in. But with the Nick Pringle issues that happened throughout the year, having Grant Nelson have to play the five, so Jaren had a good stretch of starting at the four, really forced him into action that I don't think Nate Oates really wanted him in right away. But with the lack of five men or, you know, bodies at the five, Jaren was forced to play that spot. And I thought he did a really good job at times, but there were times you could just tell he was overwhelmed, overmatched, and just not up to it. Get another year of the offseason weightlifting program, get a little stronger, a little bigger. And obviously the offseason shooting program is going to do him wonders, because you saw how he was in Clemson scoring 19 points on five threes. He has the potential. No doubt he does. He can be a Noah Clowney without the defense. As long as you're just out there in the corner shooting threes, you can get occasional buckets inside. Man, and as a backup at that, he's not going to be expected to play 30 minutes a game like Noah Clowney was. So he has a very, very nice role on this team once he decides that he wants to come back. And if he blows it out of the water in the combine and ends up thinking that he can go to the NBA draft, or if he gets promised a deal, so be it. Good for him. But to me, I think he's going to end up coming back. I don't think he's going to get the feedback he wants. He'll probably get a lot of pointers on what he needs to do better if he wants to get into the league, because I do think that he has a spot in the league in a year or two, at least getting drafted, just because of his 6'11 stature, his shooting ability, which I think he can bump his percentage up to 35, 36, 37% in due time. But the main thing is he needs to get stronger and quicker to be able to guard at that level, because shooting ability, I'm not questioning. But overall, having Grant Nelson and Jaren Stevenson solidified as the 1-2 punch at the four, and then you have the commitment that happened just today, this afternoon. Cliff Omori, we discussed him last week on the podcast. Cliff Omori, Ugonna Uwenzo, who was it going to be? I said it could be the first guy that wants to commit, but Cliff Omori ended up making a trip to Alabama last weekend. And he was a guy that Alabama wanted this whole time. There was a sabotage attempt to try to get Cliff Omori to go elsewhere. And I'll kind of cover that here in a second. But overall, adding Cliff Omori, what the difference is adding Cliff Omori to this team compared to someone like Ugonna Uwenzo, I don't know of anybody else that they could realistically go after that would make this big of an impact. Those are the two biggest impact guys in the portal. But the difference in those two is if you added Ugonna Uwenzo, you're going to be one of the top three favorites to win the SEC. But your ceiling is capped going in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. I think that with Cliff Omori bringing that 5 years of college experience, being a top five rim protector in the country with an offensive game, while he isn't going to be asked to do much offensively, he has that in him to where if you need him to get a bucket, he will. He's going to be an elite rim runner, an elite pick and roll guy that's going to dive to the basket, keep guys at bay to cover the lob, And if guys help off the corners to help with him on the roll, you're giving up more than likely a 40% three-point shooter in the corner wide open. There's going to be so many, because with Nick Pringle, you really didn't have to worry about him with the ball in his hands in the paint. It was pretty much on lobs. Now Cliff's going to be able to get the ball in the paint, and there's going to be guys that's going to have to crash down and help a lot of times, and that's going to leave open guys all around, wide open for three. So he's more of a threat inside offensively than what Ugonna Nwuzo is, and that's why I say the ceiling is just different with Cliff and Ugonna. Ugonna's a great player, and I honestly think fit-wise and fit, price, and longevity of having Nwuzo for potentially more than 1 year, he might have been a overall better option. But if you're going to go for it this year, where it seems like the NIL is going to end up being capped in the near future based on reports, you need to go all in this year or next year if you're wanting to get that done. And by the looks of it, with Alabama's roster structure, bringing back Grant Nelson, who I'm sure they're paying very well, and the potential of Mark Sears coming back, obviously going to pay him extremely well. You might as well go all in this year. And that's exactly what they're doing, because you know Cliff Amore isn't cheap based on his asking price and what someone's already offered him, reportedly around $2 million. Now, obviously, Alabama didn't come close to that. I'd be surprised if they paid even $1 million. But that's just kind of how lucrative things are getting. So adding Cliff Amore, and a little bit of backstory on Cliff. An individual game that I watched a lot of his tape going through some of the Big 12 or the Big 10 games. And the one that really stuck out to me was a game that he played against Wisconsin in February, and where he scored 13 points, 13 boards, and had 8 blocks. I mean, Wisconsin's not a bad team at all. But 13, 13, and 8, he daggum near got a triple-double with blocks. And he had games where he scored 22 points. He had 25 points. He had 19 points against Michigan, 19 and 15 in late February. He can score when you want him to. He's not going to be asked to, though, in Alabama system. Now, you might have games where he'll score 10 or 12, and that's perfectly fine. But more than likely, those are off lobs or just gaps in the defense to where the ball movement is so great that they just couldn't recover fast enough and left Cliff wide open. That's going to happen. As long as he averages around 2.5, 3 blocks and between 8 and 10 boards, that's what you need. Cliff's a lot better defender, in my opinion, than Charles Bediako was when they had a top-5 defense a few years ago. He's fleeter of foot. He's more athletic. He doesn't have as good of hands as Charles Bediako does, but he's got a quick twitch jump. If you don't believe me, go look up the video of him dunking on Zach Edey. It looked like his feet never left the ground. That's how fast he jumped up and down. It was insane, the athleticism this guy has. And he's a big cat too. 6'11", 245. He is a program-changing player, although he's only going to be at Alabama for 1 year. But he gives Alabama exactly what they need. And that's defense. That's rim protecting. That's elite rebounding. Alabama was one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country last year with an undersized lineup. Now they got guys all over the floor, 6'11", 6'11", 6'11", 6'11". They got 4 guys that are all 6'11", and great rebounders. So you just add him to the mix and just add his blocks. And I think Grant Nelson's going to feed off of that, playing the 4 primarily. And he's going to get more rim protection as well on the weak side. Grant Nelson averaged darn near 2 blocks a game last year as well. He got better as the year went on defensively. But Cliff Amore finished first in the Big Ten the last 2 years in defensive rating. He finished first the last 3 years. in block percentage. He was first in NCAA last year in block percentage at 12.8%. That is an absurd number. And some other numbers that you had the Hakeem percentage of 14.3%. You don't know who Hakeem Olajuwon is, go look him up. 99 percentile of that. 99 percentile of blocks for per personal foul at 1.111. I mean, that's an extremely low rate. I mean, that shows that he doesn't get in foul trouble very often, which is something Grant Nelson really, really struggled at. Defensive rebound percentage at 23.9%. That's in the 97th percentile. Defensive rebounds per game at 6 at the 98th percent. I mean, he's elite in all of the categories that Alabama needs him to be. And all he needs to be is himself for Alabama to be the top five preseason team that they're going to be. They're bona fide top five, as long as Mark Sears and Jaren Stevenson come back, which I assume that they will. But let's have some fun. I already put on Twitter earlier today, 44,000 of my closest friends have already looked at this and engaged with it. But I went ahead and gave my premature starters and bench roles. Go follow me at HarperNation24 to go see that. But let's have some fun, all right? My five starters, assuming Mark Sears and Jaren Stevenson come back, I've got Mark Sears running the point, of course. I've got Latrell Reitzel starting at the two. People forget about him. But I think he's definitely going to start at the two. At the three, you could go so many ways here. A lot of people have Darion Reed starting at the three. But I have Chris Youngblood. Give me the experience. Give me the last year's AAC Player of the Year. Give it to me. Don't make Darion Reed be forced into a starting position if he's not ready. If he blows it away in offseason and, you know, in camp right before the season starts, albeit, I mean, if you want Christian Youngblood coming off the bench, what an elite bench option that would be. But me personally, I would rather have the experience. You're going to have fifth-year senior, and you're going to have Chris Youngblood, fifth-year senior, all at your starting backcourt. What wins in March? Experience backcourts. And that's what they would have. Give me Grant Nelson at the four and Cliff Amore at the five. What a starting lineup that is. You have a third-team All-American in Mark Sears. You have a 44% three-point shooter in Latrell Reitzel. You have the AAC Player of the Year and a 40% three-point shooter in Chris Youngblood. You have a 6'11" Grant Nelson, who will be a preseason All-SEC player. And you got Cliff Amore, who wouldn't surprise me if he's a preseason All-SEC player as well. Top five in the NCAA in rim protection. Now, here's where it gets even more fun. Try to figure out the rotation that Alabama, Nate Oates specifically, is going to have to try to figure out. I do not envy him having this job of trying to figure this out, because it's not black and white. Some of these are, but most of them, I mean, you can make a case for multiple guys playing different positions and coming off the bench at different times. Now, I think the one spot that I think everybody would unanimously agree with is I think Aiden Holloway is going to be the backup point. I don't see him playing the two at all. I think he's too small. Houston Millett, I think, will be the backup two. Now, if you did start Darion Reed at the three, more than likely Youngblood would be the backup two and Millett would be the backup three. So I think Millett either way is going to be the backup two or three, and he still will probably see about 20 minutes plus a game just because of his three-point shooting. Without the defense, now Ryland Griffin did, I think, regress defensively last year. But honestly, I see offensively Houston Millett being a Ryland Griffin type player on offense. And if that's the case, that bench is going to be loaded. because Houston Millett's just going to be out there to shoot. I don't think he's going to be asked to dribble. I don't think he's going to be asked to drive or facilitate. He's going to be out there for straight-up spot-up shooting, where he ranks in the 97th percentile in the country in spot-up shooting. Now, I think he will ultimately back up Reitzel at the two. At 6'5", that's incredible size. Reitzel 6'4", Youngblood 6'5". Then you got Darion Reed, the five-star McDonald's All-American, backing up the three spot. He, I think, is going to be a huge X factor for Alabama going into next season, because if he is what he is rated and made out to be out of high school as a potential, I wouldn't say he's a one-and-done, but probably a two-and-done once he polishes up his outside shot. He's an extremely talented driver, finisher at the rim, and an elite defender, I think, at his age and the position he plays. But he needs to get better shooting outside. Once he becomes a 35 to 37% three-point shooter, he's a potential lottery pick. At his size, at 6'6", 6'7", he's already built like a guy that can play in the SEC. Once he figures out his shot, he's going to be a problem. Now, I think that will probably come more in year two, but maybe he comes along a little quicker. Nate Oates' system in the offseason, if you don't get injured, Alabama's had a lot of problems in the offseason, seems like, injury bug-wise. But you give him a full offseason in the weightlifting program and in the shooting program, I think he's going to carve out a really nice role for himself next year's rotation. Backing up at the four, I kind of already covered Jaron Stevenson, I believe, will play a good amount of minutes backing up Grant Nelson. And then Aiden Sherrell will be the backup five. You got to love the depth that Nate Oates has, the quality depth that Nate Oates has built in this roster. You have probably one of the top five best starting fives, no matter how you put it. Whether you want Youngblood at the two, Reed at the three, I think Sears, Nelson, and Omori at the 1, 4, and 5 are locked in. And that is about as good of a three-man combo as you're going to find in college basketball. It doesn't matter who you put at the two or the three. It's going to be high-quality players. But the two guys that makes this team as deep as they are is Jaron Stevenson at the four and Aiden Sherrell at the five. If Aiden Sherrell develops this offseason into the guy that we've seen in high school, at 6'11", can shoot the three, is a great rim protector, I think he's more built to be a Noah Clowney than Jaron Stevenson was year one, because Aiden Sherrell is that kind of defender. He's arguably a better outside shooter than Jaron Stevenson is. You have two guys like that that can step out and play the four at the five, you're going to create spacing nightmares for defenses next season. Like Alabama didn't have, incredible spacing last year. But man, Alabama can play it so many different ways, so many different lineups. If you want to play a 3-4-5 of Stevenson, Nelson, and Omori, you can do that. If you wanted to go big, if you wanted to go small, I mean, you can play Reed at the four if you wanted to, and Nelson at the five. I mean, or Sherrell at the five. I mean, it doesn't matter. There's so many guys out there. And I haven't even got to LeBaron Filon, who, recently committed to Alabama. Big-time combo guard. And I honestly don't see where the minutes come from for him unless Aiden Holloway either gets injured or if he's just not all that hot coming in next year and Filon blows him away and he can take over some of the backup point roles. But honestly, him, Muhammad Diabate, and incoming freshman Naz Cunningham, I just don't see the minutes next year. Now, LeBaron Filon, I think, is coming in knowing that he is more set up to take over next year, which is true. I think him and Aiden Holloway both have huge opportunities to develop this year and come in next year and start at the one and the two. And if they develop right, that is an extremely talented, high-ceiling 1-2 combo with multiple years to play. But guys like Mo Diabate, I mean, he could come in and be a defensive stopper at the three. You know, if Houston Millett kind of struggles and you need somebody that needs to come in and get somebody's ripping you a new one game and you need Diabate to come in. But really, Darion Reed can do that just as well, if not better. And he's a better offensive player as well. So Diabate, I have struggling finding minutes next year. And then Naz Cunningham, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes the Chris Parker route and ultimately redshirts. He's more talented than Chris Parker, don't get me wrong. But like I mentioned with Filon, there's just really not an avenue for him to come in and play. Now, if he sticks it out this year, gets stronger, and develops really well in the offseason and throughout next year, you've got guys like Sears, Reitzel, Youngblood, and Millett all going to be gone next year. You got Nelson going to be gone. You got Amori. All these guys, Alabama's whole starting five I mentioned, are going to be gone next year. And you're going to have to see 4 to 5 more players, whether it depends on how many freshmen they take, come in through the portal. So there's going to be, you know, if you show the coaching staff that you are capable of playing at this level on this type of team, that's going to be a perennial top 15, top 10 team preseason, then there's going to be a spot for you. But ultimately, there's always going to be casualties with these rosters, with the transfer portal the way it is. I mean, look at the 2022-23 team with Brandon Miller. There was 7 new players, including freshmen, come in. 7. That means 7 had to have left the year before. Look at this year's team. You had 8 newcomers. That means 8 people got cycled out coming in. I mean, that's just the nature of the business right now. Would it surprise me if guys like Aiden Holloway or LeBaron Filon transfer next year? No. It doesn't shock me of anybody transferring anymore. I wasn't really expecting Ryland Griffin to transfer. But now it's looking like he might even come off the bench when he transfers, when he would have had a starting spot more than likely at his spot next year at Alabama. So it's just nature of the business. Sometimes kids just want out, go closer to home, get more money, whatever it is. Have bad info get going, it, you know, said in their ear, whatever. It's just how it is. Nobody should be shocked by anything that happens anymore. Well, that was a lot to go through. There was an incredible amount of action happening this week. I didn't even go over Mark Sears getting invited to the NBA Combine, but that was kind of expected after the season he had. With the Combine, it's going to happen from the 12th to the 19th of May. So I think you're going to see a decision by Jaren Stevenson by the end of the NBA Combine. He should well know what his grade is. And then Mark Sears is kind of tricky because it depends on when his Combine activity is. And ultimately, I think that Mark Sears is going to end up deciding maybe before the Combine's over with. If it ends the 19th, I mean, you could see it right before the Combine ends or shortly after. I don't think you're going to see it drug out, kind of like Charles Bediako's was, and they kind of just got the bad news late. I think Mark Sears is going to get his grade and kind of know where he stands pretty early on. And I don't see Mark Sears being the type of guy that's going to drag it out. Nor do I think Nate Oates is going to allow it to drag out personally. So, to kind of recap, Grant Nelson returns. Cliff Amori commits to Alabama, going to transfer here. Mark Sears, Jaren Stevenson going through 2 different combines. And Alabama's going to be a bona fide top 5 team next year going into the season if Mark Sears and Jaren Stevenson both return. But I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I will be back next weekend. Not sure if there's going to be any more news, considering it's kind of hit the slow end until we find out what Jaren and Mark do. But as always, I'm gonna hop on here, spill some Alabama basketball content, which I love to do. But please go follow me at HarperNation24 on Twitter. If you haven't already, go subscribe to Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. Tons of information there on Alabama basketball as well. But until next time, I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. Adios.